How many of y'all going to be able to make it out to Mr. Hogan? David Hogan, how many of y'all going to try to make it out to David Hogan? Hold your hands up loud. Yeah, make it a point. And don't be, I don't want you to be what if shy, what if the Lord don't show up. I want y'all to go out in the highways and the hedgerows, and I want you to invite terminally ill people in here. I want you to invite people in here that don't have a chance, people with cancer, people with demons, people that would never set foot in this church. Just tell them, a wild man is coming here from Mexico, and he's carrying the power of the Holy Spirit with him. Not that we don't, but get them in here, because I think part of this dream is probably when we were in the barn, how many years ago? 2002. How many years ago was that? Well, y'all don't know our history. We used to be in a real barn. A real barn. Here's a piece of it. This survived because it was cut out to remodel, and this said in my kitchen. See that peg? This thing was built pre-Civil War, and it lasted all those years. Used to be cows in the bottom of that barn, didn't there? Sometimes you'd smell those cows. He pulled up in his big four-door power stroke diesel, and I backed him in. I got him a place right by the, he had to go up three sets of stairs and down one to get into the sanctuary. And Denny McIntosh remodeled and added on a wing before that revival. Anyway, he came in, he pulled up and backed him in and said, Mr. Hogan, good to meet you. He goes like this. He said, well, I told Miss Hogan, I reckon it is a barn. He said, but it's probably better than my Indians got back in Mexico, so we can do this. And boy, ambulances pulled up. Remember, I don't even know who told them. Ambulances pulled up, and here's these guys struggling to get these gurneys up and down steps. I'm like, this is incredible, man. People, you know, it pulled on people to believe. So pull on some of your friends to believe that there's hope for them, you know? I don't want to blow this guy up no bigger. You have as much potential in Jesus as David Hogan does, okay? But he set aside, I'm going to fast and fast and fast and pray and fast and pray until I see God's hand move. And he said, I'm looking in the Bible at the most miraculous miracle in the whole Bible. And what I figured out is it's seeing somebody raised from the dead. Amen. He said, that's what he set his mind to do. And so I think their ministry, at the time when he came to see us, it was like 28. And now through all these, I think they've raised up 600 churches in the mountains of Mexico, which that's phenomenal. But they've seen 600 people raised from the dead. So, you can say, I believe that or I don't believe that. Well, like he said, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind.
Hallelujah.
So, please. There's no profit in this for us, okay? Because every penny that comes into the offering will go to David Hogan and Freedom Ministries. So, praise the Lord. I will try to be brief. We've been here a while. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't get my text, we're fasting. Anybody that wants to join us Monday through Sunday, next Sunday afternoon, fasting. You can fast one meal a day. You can fast two meals a day. You can fast, period. You can fast water fast, but if you can, if there's not some physical reason, please try to fast that God will, and don't just fast. Add a little extra prayer at your meal to where you'd normally be eating. Try to make that a time of prayer. So you do what the Holy Spirit shows you to. Like I say, it's not like you have to do this. I'm just making this known to you. That's what I'm doing. Wednesday evening, I'm going to be here at 5 o'clock. But we're going to do some cleaning, a little deeper cleaning, you know, just get things in order because we got 200 chairs coming Friday, and we want to be able to put them on a clean floor. So in Jesus' name, you just believe all 300 will be full and more. Okay, Lord Jesus, we didn't have no birthdays or nothing, did we? Drop them in if you know somebody's had a birthday in the last week. Yeah, I saw Jerry's birthday. I wished him happy birthday, Jerry, missionary to Haiti. Go to Matthew 7. Verse 13. In the Garden of Eden, there was lush, there was fruit trees, it was a garden, there was springs of living water popping up everywhere. But there were two particular trees in the garden that we got to remember. One of them was the tree of life. Right? It says, if you eat of this tree, God said, what? You will never die. Is that what it said? I'm not telling you to turn there. Is that basically what it said? And said, there's another tree there, and it's called the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from this tree, you will die. So he offered them what? Life and death. Of course, the tempter came around and told him how good death would be and tried to put, the first thing he tried to do was put, did God really say? Isn't that what he said? Did God really say if you eat of this fruit you will die? He put doubt on the word of God. And that's what's going on in the church and the nation right now. Is doubt is being put on the word of God, and people are swallowing it because they think, I can live easier, I can do what I want if I just partake of this twisted word, right? Word of God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God changes not. We can change, the church can change, we can get different opinions about what we believe, but it will not change death and life.
That's right.
Death and life. And who was it that said, choose you this day who you will serve? And some of y'all ain't chose who you're going to serve yet. I'm just going by what the Lord showed me, okay? Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. In fact, I think King James might say most, but I'm not sure of that, so don't quote me on that. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to join you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by what? Their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. You won't know them because they got a plaque on the wall that says they had perfect attendance in Sunday school. You won't know them because they got a card in their back pocket that says, I'm a pastor, I'm an ordained pastor. You will know them by their fruit. And right back earlier, I think, and every heathen knows this, going to a drug house, going to a bar, and people say, don't judge me, man. The Bible says, don't judge, judge not, judge not. Well, right here he's saying, you will know them by their fruit. I never witnessed everybody if I just assumed everybody was saved. You know them by their fruit, right? What? A tree, a good tree bears what? Good fruit. A bad tree bears what? Bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. You will know them by their fruits. And that's not judging, man. That's not judging at all, because when the Holy Spirit comes on you and convicts you of sin, you know you've got bad fruit. Lord, it didn't take some kind of psychic to tell me I had bad fruit when I came to Jesus. I was overloaded with bad fruit, just dripping off my branches. I'm not bragging about that. It's just the way it was. But when he came, he started shaking that tree. He started shaking that tree, man, and the bad fruit fell off. I said the bad fruit fell off. And what happened after the bad fruit fell off? What made the bad fruit fall off? The blood. The blood of Jesus made the bad fruit. Not because Mark decided to be a good boy. He tried it. He couldn't be a good boy. He was a bad boy. But when Jesus came, he shook that tree and that bad fruit started falling off. And what happened? It started blooming. And pretty soon there was little bitty fruit. And it was starting to mature. And if I stay on this right course, everything's going to mature. And I'm going to have great fruit to present to my King. Great fruit. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? He said he came to the fig tree in the time, and it was the time for figs to be on a fig tree. He came to a fig tree, and he came to get something to eat, Jesus did. And it said that fig tree was not bearing fruit in the time of the season. It should have been bearing fruit. So what did he do? He cursed it. And it said it died from the root up. Trees never die from the root up. Look sometime, you'll notice the top starts getting weary and it works its way down. But he did something supernatural. It started dying from this way up. Anyway, we're not going to die, praise God. We're going to get our hearts right with Jesus. We're going to get our lives right with Jesus today, praise God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to go deeper with God. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And I already quoted that other part to you. Not everyone who says, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So, if you read that, I get one thing out of that you might not get out of it. The rain and the flood is coming. You won't live life too long before the flood comes into your life. And if it's built on the sand, Chris, like me, it'll wash away, man. But man, if it's built on the rock, it's gonna weather that storm. You know, you might experience some pain, you might experience some rejection, you might experience people turning away from you, but if it's built on the rock, you will endure that flood. And not only endure, it's like Noah's Ark. You'll float high above that flood, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Speaking of Noah's Ark, do y'all get a newsletter from the Creation Museum? Did you see that ark, they're building a life-size Noah's Ark, man, like 450 feet by whatever. I'm like, whoa, that is so cool. We're going to have to take a field trip up there when it's done, man. They will even, I don't know, I think they might even have rooms and stuff in there. I don't know what their plans are, but. Step number one, get on the right path. Get on the right path. I pulled up some lyrics from a demonic song from my past this morning. You might think it's a good song, but you never really listened to it if you did. But real kind of religious sounding. It's called Stairway to Heaven. Stairway to Heaven, yeah, that's good. You don't have to play it backwards. You play it forward and get a lot of... But I'll tell you what, something I never noticed, and I never heard it in the song, but I pulled up two or three sites. Always, to me, it always says, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. I noticed in the lyrics it was, she's buying a stairway to heaven. I never got that before. So what that's implying is, there's many ways. And there's one verse in there that says, there are two paths you can go by. That's what we're talking about. We're talking the straight and narrow or the broad way. That's truth. There are two paths you can go by, but it says, but there's still time to change the road you're on, which is a lie, 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 lie. Yeah. Nobody's promised a time to change that path you're on. So there are two paths. There's only, and see, they made it clear. They made it clearer than most churches do. There are only two paths. One of them leads to hell. One of them leads to heaven. One of them leads to life. One of them leads to death. One of them leads to sickness. One of it leads to health. Right? There's a whole lot of people that are going to go to heaven. They're going to go there sick and depressed. Really. I mean, really. God doesn't have that for us. But, you know, reaping and sowing is something God can't just go, oh, I'm not going to, you know, we make our decision. Come on. I'm not trying to flop around, but we make decisions that affect the rest of our life, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Not just our spiritual life, but our physical life. God showed me to get rid of a whole lot of junk in my life 30-something years ago that if I hadn't, I don't know, I'd be, you know, bound to the house or who knows. But God is good. Liver gone, you know. I don't know where I was headed. But God is so good. So good. So good. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. So we get on the right path. Let's close our eyes for a second. Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Just start talking to him for a minute. Just talk to him and tell him you love him. Tell him you love him, or tell him you want to love him. You want to know him. To know him is to love him. God, Lord, forgive us. We don't know you the way we want to, God. Forgive us, Lord. We just read your word that said that I never knew you. Lord, we want to intimately know you, God, to know you in the power of your resurrection, Jesus. God, I just pray over these saints right now, God, that love you. I pray, God, that you give them confidence in who they are. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's at least two people here right now. You're thinking, I think I know him. I think I'm right with him, but I'm just not really sure. At least there's two people. Would you be bold enough to get up and come up here and confess that I need Jesus to forgive me? I want to know who I am when I walk out of here today. I don't want to be trapped anymore in fear of judgment. I want to know that I know that I know that Jesus is my Lord and my King. Whoever that is, please, in Jesus' name, right now, stand up. In Jesus' name. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. See, and whoever else, or somebody else, I know there's at least one, maybe two. But there'll be a day you'll say, you can't put a time limit on God. Oh, yeah, there'll be a day when you wish you had 1 second to repent. You'll wish you had 1 second to repent and give your life to Jesus. Thank you. But there's still another one. I know there is. Don't let pride stand between you and what God has for you. Jesus wants to touch you and heal you right now. God wants to forgive you completely and he wants to set your feet and take it out of that sand and put it on the solid rock in Jesus' name. Well, dude, we got a couple of little more preaching to go, but that's okay. This is the most important thing in your whole life right now. One more time. I want you, when I say I want you to go to the person on your left and your right boldly and say, do you need Jesus to forgive you? Do you need Jesus to get things right in your heart? When I say that, I want, listen, you're not lying to man if you say, no, I don't, and you do. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. Do not do that. Right now, just ask. Ask the person to your left and your right, do you need forgiveness? Do you need Jesus to save you, to deliver you? Boldly. Come on, boldly. The devil's talking to them boldly. Come on, let's be bold about this. Let's be bold. Do you know Jesus? Are you born again? If you're not, come on. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Today you can leave here free. You don't have to be bound no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up. Praise the Lord for these three saints, souls, two of them anyway, that are coming to know Jesus. Maybe they're backslidden. I don't know where they're at, but that's up to God. You guys, as you're kneeled right there, I just want you to pray out loud, and I want everybody in here to pray out loud. We're going to pray to receive Jesus. If you're serious and you mean it, God hears you, and God does what he says he would do. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's true, ain't it? That's what the Word of God says. Repent, renounce, and break. We repent, we renounce, and break every spell, every curse, every destruction ritual that's been spoken over these young folks, over this church right now in Jesus' name, over these people, God, called by your name. It's time for the curse to lift, to be broken, to be broken, to be broken, to be broken. God, I just pray for fresh confidence, the fresh confidence today that we'll know that we know that we know that we know that we know that you are our King and our Savior. Let's pray this all together. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Let's do it again. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I am sorry. I have sinned against you. I've hurt others. I've hurt myself. But I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. I believe, Jesus, that you gave your life freely on the cross to forgive sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your blood washes away all sin. Wash me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus, from my deepest, darkest secrets. Wash me, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart, Lord. Come into my life, Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to be washed in the blood. And I thank you, Lord, that you rose again. You defeated the power of death and hell. And I no longer have to be bound. I proclaim freedom over my life in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Shokota sakate, sokota sakate, korabasia. A little more of that prayer. And Lord, I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Spirit, Lord. I need the power. I need the power. I need the power. I am weak, but you are strong in me, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Shoo. Okay, I want to ask you one more question. I believe everybody out there prayed that prayer out loud, and I believe everybody believed what they prayed. I really do. If you did that, and you meant that, and it was something you'd never done before, or you were been backslidden since then, would you please come up here and just as a public, just let people know? Because you know what? If you can't stand up for Jesus in this crew of people that love Jesus, and they look at you like, praise God what he's done. It's not like, oh, a filthy sinner, because we've all been there.
Yeah, come on.
If you can't stand up in front of some believers, what are you going to do when you get to school? What are you going to do when you get to the workplace? Man, they're going to eat you up. Come up here and make that confession. Make it flesh. Put flesh on it. Come on. Come on, man. I know there's a couple of you that want to do that. Come on. Come on. Don't leave here and go, oh, man, I knew I should have done that. I wish I had done. No. God will strengthen your confession if you'll do that, okay? And one more thing. Oh, I got one more thing. It's going and going and going. If you've not been water baptized since you believed, you need to do it. You need to do it. If you got water baptized and didn't believe, you did something when you were 10 or 11 years old, didn't have a clue, you need to do it with faith. You need to do it by faith, because there's great power in obeying the precepts of God. And that's one of his verses. Be baptized.
Amen.
Does it save you? No, but it strengthens you, and it, whew, it cuts your past off. Exactly.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.